Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Monday, Monday. So good to me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday morning. It was all I hoped it would be.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Monday morning couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine.
Ready to do this?
I don't think we'll know until we're done.
Even then.
Yep. Sometimes only hindsight, only the rear view. No windshield, only rear view.
Interesting gray area today. We have one guy here who just kind of vegged out this weekend, did a lot of yard work, just kind of hung out with the dog and just kind of chilled out. And then we have young Gray here, went and rubbed shoulders with all the big wigs in Madison, the WBA Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards.
Yeah, that was excellent. That was actually, it was fun, but that was so many awards.
Yeah, I know. When you're done with the award show, you're just like, well, that was what, 5-6 hours?
Five hours. Yeah, it was about exactly 5 hours. But it was 5 hours followed immediately by Pizza Hut catering. So there were some definite high points. Yeah.
Oh, they brought in a little pizza for you.
They were ready this time. I mean, and the night started with dinner. Otherwise, I don't want to know what kind. It would have looked like an NBA game out there with the elbows. But it was fun. But so the thing is that I think people need to know, the one basic thing is that every award that they gave last night, and there are dozens, is actually 6 awards, because each one is both TV and radio for the most part. And then each one is small market, medium market, and large market. So you've got 2 categories, TV and radio, and then the 3 markets, 2 times 3 is 6, times the number of award categories there were.
There's a lot of them.
So many. And also, we are surrounded by some incredible media organizations. Huge shout out to some of our counterparts. I don't know. I don't think we overlap, so I won't call them rivals. But actually, yeah, we probably do touch WRJO, if anybody from WRJO is in the listen right now. Holy cow, did Mike get a lot of... He probably had to rent a trailer for all the plaques. But that said, we didn't go home empty-handed, and civic media did exceptionally well.
It was a good night, and good night to celebrate media in Wisconsin, not only TV but radio, and a lot of the smaller market stations and larger, from small, medium, large, that still do news coverage, that make that an important part of what they do. So hats off to Gray. Gray was honored for his fun little promo he did for our podcast. Disgruntled Gray, I call it.
Gray.
And then we got a couple awards for Katkin's video that we did as part of our Katkin's fundraiser, and our on-air Katkin's thing where Gray had his hair buzzed last October. So it was a good night. 3 second place finishes out of many, many entries. So it's always fun. I've been there several times. It was your venture, and it is. Well, I mean, the evening when I first started going, they would eat and then they would start the awards after they would eat, and then it would go till like midnight. Now they pretty much start the awards and let's just have dinner while we're giving out awards,
yep,
right?
It's yep.
kind of what they do.
You walk up and when you mount your chair, there's already salad on the table. Like yeah, you yeah. actually, you walk up to the salad and there's already dessert at the table. Like they've already saved the servers from having to subject themselves to you for two of those courses.
Marriott West, which was kind of a fancy schmancy place.
Yep.
So it's a pretty cool place. So congrats to all in our neighboring stations also that are keeping small town radio alive. So we delve into several different topics here in the gray area. There's one here called the boys or the joys of gardening. And I felt that this past weekend. There's nothing quite like, for me, it's a little bit of the physical activity, but that hurts usually later. It's more of the ability to just shut off what's going on. I have a tendency, if I do have something in my ear, it'll be music. Just kind of shutting off all the noise, all the political noise, maybe work or whatever it may be. But there's something special about being able to go out and weed, mow, put your thumb in the ground and put some radish seeds in there. It's therapeutically healthy.
Well, like it's so time going quickly, when you experience time passing quickly, I've found as I've grown up that there are that your ideas of that as a kid are inaccurate. It's kind of like eating ice cream whenever you want. Yeah, sure, I can go buy Ben and Jerry's, or I could walk out of the studio right now, walk over to Super One, but that would not be a period of good mental health during which I do such a thing. So, like, it's not actually the way you envision. And it's kind of the same thing with time passing quickly. When you grow up and you're an adult and time passes quickly, it's either because something you really didn't want to be doing is happening and you just can't, you don't have a choice, but it's an occupying activity, or you're having a lot of fun. So there, you've got the two poles. There's no, forgive me, but there's no gray area when it comes to time passing quickly. You're probably having a lot of fun or none whatsoever.
Got some radishes planted last week. Some carrots are in the ground. The zinnias are in the ground. So I got more stuff in the ground planted intentionally than ever. And I've learned to pat it down pretty good because the chipmunks like to watch you, what you're doing, and they like to come get those seeds right away.
I think when you garden, you reward yourself at least twice. You know, you get the satisfaction of completing the task. You get the satisfaction of, well, however many times you check on them and you see those progress points. But the full bloom, of course, that's, I think it is its own analogy, because you're gardening, but you're also planting future seeds of joy. You know, it's very easy to derive some happiness
and
out
it's
of that.
It's a great life lesson, because I've had gardens since I was really very young. It is a great life lesson that what you do now matters later. Not everything isn't just for the here and now, and what about tonight and even tomorrow. What you do now matters down the road. When you plant that radish seed today, well, 3 months down the road, there it is. There's your bounty from it.
Not to go there, but that's why I get so nervous when I see all these environmental protections being gutted. It's like, well, I wonder what my grandkids would say about that if they had the opportunity to weigh in on it.
Yeah, exactly. Another line in our gray area menu today is flower of small country. That was you.
Wait, what?
That was you, wasn't it?
Me? No.
That wasn't.
No. Uh-oh. We've got...
That was probably me. I probably forgot what I put on
and
there.
And now we'll never know. Small country flower. And it's F-L-O-W-E-R, so we're still talking botany here. We're not talking about baking.
All right, we're going to have to try to figure that out.
I don't know that in itself, I don't think we should televise the search. It's going to turn into Geraldo Rivera and the Al Capone vault.
It's not something that AI could figure out all by itself, I don't think.
That's the thing about AI. It will never tell you it doesn't know. That, I think, is the thing that a lot of people mistake, and just AI will lie to you. Yep, and you should know that going in. It's kind of your fault if you let it happen.
Yeah. Even if you just go into Google and ask it a question,
it'll never tell you it doesn't know. It'll assemble an answer that looks like the truth if it can, and it sure can.
Well, I Googled, is Joel Karnick a great morning show host? It didn't give me an answer, so it didn't give me some. So
the hold on, Googling something real quick.
So another thing on the menu today, I found. I just wanted to throw this out to see if I was alone on this, a freak show, but there's so many times where at work, and people do this, whatever job you have, where you might have a cookie or you might have something, whatever, you have a cup of coffee and a cookie, Does anybody else have those moments where you walk around and you really aren't, or you walk into your office or whatever after working for an hour or two, and you're not sure if you finished the cookie?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
just like, okay, did I, where did that? What?
Actually,
and the cookie's gone
on Friday. On Friday, this happened to me, but it was the opposite conclusion. I was eating a donut that Austin so kindly brought in, and I think we were getting ready to leave for the day, and or it was kind of towards the end of the day. The memory has an end of day feeling to me, and as I was, I think I offered Rachel a bite of the donut, and there was still a little bit left, and I said, "Did I finish that donut? I remember not finishing it, but I cannot find the donut." And so a brief search revealed, aha, indeed, it was by the microwave. I had set it
down.
That's
the line right there.
Yes.
What was his? I don't remember.
Did I finish the donut? I don't remember if I finished the donut.
I don't remember if I finished the cookie or not. And then you're very disappointed when you look and you see, like, crumbs on the paper towel, just like, dang, I did finish that.
I mean, like, eating mindlessly, sure. I was thinking about other things, but I don't feel like you can finish a donut mindlessly. The end of a donut is a significant event. It's like the end of a book. You know, what do I do now becomes the question.
It's true.
And there was not a feeling of completion. There was no terminus in the air. And I was like, there must be a donut out there somewhere. And there was, if only in one bite form remaining. But,
or a cup of coffee, that a non-glass cup of coffee, the traditional ceramic cup of coffee. How many times have you sat there either watching TV or at work and you reach for the cup of coffee and you're about 50-50 whether there's anything in there?
See, I'm
obsessive. You're not sure if you have glass ones, so you can tell, but the ceramic ones, you're like, you're reaching over and just like, well, if there's not, I'll get that last drip out of there. I'll just get that little drip.
Oh, you don't know how many times I've been sitting here with that black travel mug, that metal mug, and they're like, I'll flip it open, I'll tip it up, nothing happens, but I'm not going to just stop because I've already, like, you know, I'm doing my NPC routine. Like, I've got to complete the whole action. Just otherwise it'll look like a glitch in the Matrix, and yeah, no. Nope.
And there's something in there. Yeah.
Gotta fulfill the program.
Or the gas station cup of coffee, the borderline styrofoam or whatever those things are, the cardboard cups with the lids on them, where you get to the end of the cup of coffee or coffee when you're traveling somewhere, you don't want it to be done. So you take the lid off because there's always a little bit that just hides in the lid.
Yes.
And you're just looking for that last shot of cappuccino or coffee.
So that's the thing about those, though, is that because of the cup, this is deeper into drink vessel theory than anybody ever needed to get. I can already tell. The weight of your cup is
drink
the
vessel.
Margin of error. The weight of the cup is the margin of error. And by that, I mean, okay, I pick up a ceramic mug, and that weighs what? 5, 6, 7 ounces, maybe at the most, if it's a heavier mug. Right. But there's that part of your mind that doesn't know, okay, is there like an ounce of coffee in there? You know, you can't tell. Your hand is not that precise of a scale. Maybe some of us are better than others. Maybe some of us have weighed grain better than any industrial scale in the world. But that's not me. So, like, it's possible for me to be unsure when I pick up a mug without looking, is there liquid in there? But not in a paper cup. Because you pick that baby up and it almost flies out of your hand. There's nothing
Correct.
There. It's just
Correct.
Paper. So, like, I find myself, like, if I don't feel anything, if it feels like just a paper cup, I immediately extinguish all hopes. I'm not even going to do the tip back there. That one, I will actually set the cup back down because I'm not even going to do that NPC maneuver where it gets to my mouth. Like, nope. I know that. And I'm obsessive. I have my coffee, like, you know, there's things, they say you should never drink for a purpose, and they're not talking about coffee, but I think it's true because that's exactly what I do. Like, I know how much coffee I have left most of the time. What I screw up is when I pour a cup of tea, I put the tea bag in, I let it steep for 2 minutes, and then 2 hours later, that 2 minutes ends.
Or that moment, this might be an older person's moment, where you reach for that cup of coffee and you're confident there's nothing in it and you're just going for the drip. And then you come over and you confidently flip it up into
splash.
Your mouth and you get the little bit of like 0.4 ounce splash that ends up, of course, right on your white shirt, of course, all the time.
And suddenly you get that kind of hoodwinked expression of the little baby who gets the ice in his face after tipping the cup back too far. Just, and then you look at mom and wait, do I cry? Yes, I cry.
There's a reason why we're not doing any hard-hitting topics. We're just having fun with some brain-dead stuff because I need it, and I think our general public needs it. We're not going to talk about Alcatraz. We're not going to do any of that stuff. We're just going to get turn your brain off to some just some silly fun stuff here today, whether it be drinking your coffee when there's nothing in there or whatever it may be. Again, over the weekend, kind of a brain dead weekend for me, a lot of time with the dog hanging out, just kind of turning off the brain. And I thought to myself, I was just thinking about the language that we use when we talk to our dogs and even our cats too, and the gestures and the way I'll go out the front door of my house, and I know the trigger word for my dog, and it's pee pee poo 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 pee pee is what it is. All right. So, and sometimes people will be walking down the sidewalk, and I'll, you know, sometimes I'll just get nailed on it. I just and I won't even oblige, because that's what works for my dog, and he knows the command. It works for him. It works for me. So I'm just going to be that guy who comes out and maybe even a little falsetto voice at times. Pee pee poo 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 pee pee. And there's not a dog owner alive that doesn't have the stuff that they say to their dog that they would prefer someone else not to hear.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody does. There is a unique language that exists between each dog owner and their dog. And if there's not, I question the relationship you have with your dog.
Yeah.
And if you feel judged, yes, I'm talking about you. We recently had we had to replace a car recently, and in that process, we met an individual who helped us in the process of looking for one, and we got through all kinds of paperwork and things, and there were license plates to deal with, and there were registrations and insurance, and at the end of the whole process, the guy said, a very, very normal-voiced guy, I would say, incredibly nice guy, but he said, there's actually one more thing we've got to deal with, and I said, what's that? He said, can I pet that dog? We said, absolutely. And you know, we were already loving it, because, you know, we've got Toby. We're dog lovers. And so anybody who wants to pet our dog, cool. We already like you a little bit better. We opened the door to the car to let Toby out, and immediately that guy's voice went up like three octaves. Right, it was just, right. Can I pet that dog? Became, hi, hi, you cute little dog. I can't even get to the notes he was hitting. Like, it was Mariah Carey. I don't want a lot for Christmas, but like he was singing to our dog, and it was so awesome. It's just like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to tell your taller, tougher, stronger friends that you did this, but I respect you.
And I believe it's more with dogs than with cats. I mean, we have certain things that we say to cats, but I think cats are just so independent. I think we talk to our cats more like we talk to our kids. Whereas dogs are different.
I disrespect my cat to his face. I call him names out of love. So that was, I heard it put a couple years after I got, I see you get what I'm saying here. A couple years after I got my cat, I saw it put perfectly in a Facebook post, and it was, if your cat could text you, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. If it had the technological,
would not reply.
The thumbs, the brain, it wouldn't.
Just wouldn't reply.
Yep. And you know what? If cats are smarter than we think they are, we'll never know, because they're smart enough to keep their mouth shut about it. Like that's a roommate with fur who decides that, like, every once in a while my hands become scratch machines. But that's true for Toby too. So it's kind of hard to hate it. But yeah, no.
It's a different world. It's a different conversation you have with the cat. I mean, over the weekend, my conversation with the cat was basically, really? That's how you use.
Yes.
I use that a lot, because our cat will go inside, outside. He'll go to the door. He'll meow to come in, outside. Constant, a constant barrage of inside, outside.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and like, dogs are a little goofier than cats a lot of the time, but cats can be very, very goofy. Truly, the only thing that I would say is the big difference, and it's not the big difference all the time. Nothing's 100% true in the world, but the big difference is that a cat relationship between a cat-human relationship is almost the same as a dog-human relationship, except the cat exercises as much choice as you do. A dog will want what you want because you want it. But a cat, will want what it wants, regardless of what you want, and will make that happen. Like, yeah. If it doesn't want to hang out with you, it's not going to. If a dog doesn't want to but sees that you want to, okay, now it wants to. It will actually, at the drop of the hat,
adjust, like, yeah.
Yeah, my emotions match my humans. Whereas the cat, my emotions match what my human requires to get me some food. Like, yeah. That's it. That's it. It's transactional, but not unloving.
And I think the personality of the animals is described by the fact that at times, anybody who has a cat for at any point, there has been once every couple of days, someone will say, "Where's Fluffy?" That the cat will just disappear.
Yep.
The cat will just be like, "You let him outside?" At no point ever, I don't think, with our dog that we've had for 3 years, 2 or 3 years, have we said, "Where's Billy?" Because he's always there.
Yep.
He's always just kind of around.
Cleaner.
But the cat will just kind of all of a sudden just send, will just saunter out of the room like, "I've had enough of you guys. I'm out of here. I'm gonna go sit below the bed in the basement, all right, for a while. I'm just gonna do this.
There's a nonchalance that, like, I definitely, when I was there in Madison this weekend, and I was thinking, in order to look good in a suit, you've gotta look like you're comfortable in a suit. I was thinking, just walk like a cat. Like, this room belongs to me. Nobody in this room matters, and if they do, they don't to me. Like, yep.
Yep.
Just walking with a lot of elbows and some, like, there was a tuba behind me even. Like, it was a fun time. Like, that was the facade, the catwalk.
Not looking at somebody until there's an obvious reason to look at that. Looking where you want to look, and then if someone says something, you kind of look and just like, hey, give them that corner of the eye. Yeah, it's a cat.
I'd love a video from the third person. I was probably walking around like a jerk. Like, what's that guy? Does that guy got something wrong with his knees? Do his shoes fit? Is he okay?
I want to know if your tail was wagging. That's what I want to know.
I was having a great time. Right. I was having a great time.
More of the gray area at 8:33. We take an hour on Mondays to talk about a little bit of everything, just to settle us down and hopefully kick off the week on a good note. We'll get to more of the gray area coming up after our twice an hour news and sports.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. On Saturday, President Trump's 25% tariffs on imported cars went into effect. Economists say it could raise car prices by thousands of dollars. The president also announcing he wants to reopen Alcatraz.
The president says he's directing his government to reopen and expand Alcatraz, that notorious former prison in that hard-to-reach island off of San Francisco. The jail has been closed for over 60 years, and reopening it would certainly be challenging logistically and expensive, and just as he is making deep cuts to the Justice Department.
ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House. Israel's security cabinet approving a plan to occupy Gaza and hold the territory indefinitely. The board at Berkshire Hathaway has approved Warren Buffett staying on as chairman of the board when he steps down and Greg Abel takes over as CEO next year. Starting today, federal student loan payments resume after a 5-year hiatus. More than 5 million borrowers suspended payments during COVID. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. With warmer weather finally here, many are flocking to the lakes and rivers. But remember, those clear, okay, mostly murky waters can hold unforeseen dangers. There may be a current that you don't know about, and many times those bodies of water are colder than you may realize. Remember to always have a life jacket on and to tell people where you're going to be heading, so they at least know where to start looking if you happen to have an accident. And above all else, pay attention to not only yourself, but the others around you as well. Remember, your vigilance could help prevent a tragedy. Saturday, May 17th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. over at the Phillips Public Library, there is a Reducing Family Conflict presentation. This will feature positive parenting help for parents of teens, and will feature such discussion topics as problems you have faced and parent traps, teaching children and teenagers to get along with each other, using direct discussion and what to do if it doesn't work, how to reduce and manage family conflict and what to do if it persists, and points to remember and key steps. This discussion group is free of charge, including a workbook, and all attendees who participate and complete a training survey will receive a gas card. You can register through the event on the Phillips Public Library's Facebook page, Phillips Public Library. And once again, this is happening May 17th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. over at 286 Cherry Street in Phillips. School district leaders across Wisconsin are trying to figure out what to do after the Trump administration cut $16 million meant for healthier school meals. Savannah Tomey-Olson reports.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced more than $1 billion in funding last year for two programs that help schools, child care centers, and food banks buy locally sourced food. Caitlin Taurinen heads the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin. She says schools have roughly $2 per kid to spend on school lunches, and that federal money helped bridge the gap in their slim budgets and partner with local producers.
It's hard for us to do that with the budget that we have. And not only is it hurting the students and the schools that are consuming this food, but it's really making a huge impact on our farmers.
Stacy Nelson is the director of food nutrition services for the Menominee School District. She says that federal money helped them move away from big box foods and give kids more nutritious options from local farmers.
Continuing to pull programs that are meant as a support to those kids isn't going to make America healthy again, which is what we keep saying we're trying to do.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has demanded the USDA restore that funding. Leaders in the Trump administration say cutting it is curbing government waste. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
The Brewers shut out the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 4-0 win over the first-place Chicago Cubs. After the game, I asked Cubs manager Craig Counsell on the matchup on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great pitcher's duel. Both starters pitched very, very well. Peralta was good. His changeup was an improved pitch.
Freddy Peralta, nearly perfect through six innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he was a big boy today. Like, it was big boy Freddy. It was come right at you. Here I am. My stuff's good enough. I'll throw any pitch on any count.
NFL, the Packers wrapping up the rookie minicamp. Wide receiver Savion Williams says after being interviewed by the team, he'd hoped he'd be picked by the Pack.
The whole week before our draft, everybody was always asking, like, if it was one team you would get picked by, who would you want to get picked? I told him, like, it would be Green Bay. That's where I want to go. And just, you know, seeing the area code number just pop up and then, you know, just grinning the whole time. Just knowing I'm being Green Bay was just a dream, man.
That's rookie receiver Savion Williams. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Lager United Booster Club is proudly supported by Philips Medisize, a global trusted leader in front-end design, development, and manufacturing solutions for highly regulated industries.
Hey, hey, hey! Grab your partner and get those feet moving and enjoy some polkas. Jack's Corner Bar in Park Falls is bringing you the Northwoods Polka Show. It's always a party at Jack's Corner Bar with deep-fried chicken served every day of the week. Fridays, enjoy fish fry with salad bar, and Saturdays, pork and dumplings, and a tasty prime rib special on Saturday night. Don't forget about burger and fries Thursdays, and breakfast served all day on Sunday at Jack's Corner Bar, located on Cedar Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin, open Wednesday through Sunday, where good times roll.
Get the free Civic Media app and text us your birthdays, anniversaries, and requests. Download the Civic Media app on your Android or iPhone. Sponsored by Wheelway Autos in Fifield, where you'll find premium used cars and high-quality service work. WheelwayAutos.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast to east at 5 to 10. Tonight, mid-40s. Tomorrow, it will be mostly sunny with a high once again in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
98Q Country.
Not all pee-pee times are poo-poo times.
But all poo-poo times are pee-pee times.
I got gray in that one.
That was better done than I expected it to be. That was a higher quality result than I thought was possible.
See, I thought I couldn't play that audio clip without people seeing the video, but after doing that,
I was wrong.
Oh, that worked great.
That worked great.
That was great.
It is the gray area for a Monday morning, the 5th of May, and a beautiful week of sunshine. And the mud is starting to dry out a little bit out there, a little bit.
Finally, that's the soppy parts. I'm hoping the driving range is drying up a little bit here in town.
It's good news on the Kernick front. Anytime you plant something in an area where you're not sure about the soil quality, and you start to see the row of radishes come up, oh, that's joyous.
Nice.
It's joyous. I don't know if the radishes will survive. The rabbits and the deer, whoever else wants to eat it, but I know there's potential there, so that's good.
Aren't there options for soil testing that don't involve planting a whole row of radishes?
There probably are, but they're not as fun.
Is a speck radish a thing? Did you plant some speck radishes?
I didn't. My speck is shovel in the ground, about three shovels in the ground. If I see two or three worms, I'm pretty good.
Honestly, there's probably a lot worse. I mean, it's pretty easy to come up with a worse test if that's what you want to do, but there's probably people out there using worse tests and succeeding.
Yeah, it's very true.
Which is scary, but...
All right, the gray areas, we still have not figured out what flowers of small country in our reference menu means, but we'll someday figure that out. I'll have an aha moment at some point. I'd like to talk a little bit today about a food that I don't think gets enough love, enough recognition. And I thought of this last week, and then it was confirmed again today when I saw that the average price of a Dairy Queen Blizzard is between a medium Blizzard is between $4.50 and $6.59. McDonald's ice cream cones, not here in Park Falls, but everywhere else going up to $2-$2.50.
For what?
A good gallon of ice cream for $5. Vanilla ice cream does not get enough respect.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I don't think it gets enough respect. Oh, vanilla ice cream has so many uses. And just a basic bowl of vanilla ice cream, just that's the beginning, the foundation, what you can build from that just two or three scoops or seven of vanilla ice cream. I mean, you could put Captain Crunch on there. You could put marshmallows. You could put chocolate. You could even get healthy and put strawberries, bananas. The amount of things you can enhance a basic bowl of vanilla ice cream is nearly endless.
Yeah, it's a blank slate. It's a canvas on which you can paint brilliance.
And it's so simple. It's so simple. And you can, you know, if you pay attention, you can get a gallon of ice cream on sale for $5. You know, and that might last you a weekend.
we're kind of at a point now. So if I'm buying ice cream, I'm either getting the $5 Big Kemp's gallon because of the value. Right. And because, like you say, vanilla ice cream is like the difference between no ice cream and some vanilla is massive. The difference between vanilla and the most expensive salted caramel decadence, not that wide to me. I mean, there is a gulf there and there's time for that. But I maintain the best ice cream is having ice cream at all. But more than having none. So I'll either get that big value gallon, or there is one brand, and I can't remember what it's called offhand, but I get it over at Super One next door with a red top and white sides on it. It's some kind of, it's not Cold Stone, I don't think, but there's a creamery brand with really high quality stuff, and it's like $3 a half gallon. So it ends up, that's kind of my limit. If I'm paying more than $3 a half gallon, I'm wondering why.
See, the time to live it up and have that exotic ice cream is when you go out to the Cold Stones or whatever, Dairy Queen, whatever, and you want to throw marshmallows and all that stuff in there. But when you're buying a whole gallon of ice cream at a store, I think they should just eliminate all flavors except vanilla. Just have vanilla, because I don't want to commit to every bowl of ice cream being chocolate. I don't want to commit to every bowl of ice cream being strawberry. I want vanilla, And that makes every bowl of ice cream whatever I want it to be.
True.
Yeah.
I do get pretty obsessive with, well, life and everything, but... But like ice cream is not immune. Well, I realize this was the second time in this show alone that I've talked about how obsessive I get regarding a food item. And ice cream, like, I'm that guy that if you give me bunny tracks, like,
yeah, that's pretty good.
I may or may not hand you back a bowl of formerly bunny tracks, now vanilla gravel. You know, like there's so, and I found that I will eat a lot more ice cream if I've got those little goals buried in
little
there.
Little treasures.
Yes, yeah.
It's like bacon bits in a salad. Yeah.
You might as well paint a big X on it. Yep. Just, I'm digging. So I've found that if you create the extras, they kind of are their own incentive. I agree with you that vanilla is good enough, but yet I've found that if you dangle a little carrot in front of me, whoo, I'm sprinting. I'm like Toby with a bacon bit.
How do you feel about bubble gum in your ice cream?
No, I've had good bubble gum ice cream, but that was a long time ago. I feel like it was almost like my grandparents are from South Dakota. They used to live out in Brookings, where South Dakota State University is. There's a really good dairy at that college, so the ice cream in town was really good. But they also had ice cream trucks there, which we don't really have around here. And they had this bubblegum bar. I think it was like a bar of ice cream with little bits of bubblegum in it. And if you saved them all, like in your... like a little squirrel in the corner of your cheek.
That's like a chore. It's like a job.
But it was a reasonable bubblegum experience. Since then, every time I've tried, it's just like, that's a pink rock right there. That's got a mineral name, and it's probably classified in a museum.
I was always taught, you know, don't swallow that bubblegum. It'll stay in your stomach forever.
Or stick for 7 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Geez. So now I'm eating ice cream, and I'm thinking, well, I gotta separate church and state here. I gotta have bubblegum on my left side of my mouth and only ice cream on my right side, and there's a lot going on in there. I can't be swallowing the gum.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism as a member of the dinner table. Okay.
But just basic vanilla is wonderful for me. So we can't get away from a gray area without having a little bit of football talk.
Well,
just
certainly.
Just a little bit. Did you see the note over the weekend that they believe that the last person born in the 20th century or the 90s ever was drafted this past year. 1999, a guy was born who was drafted, and that'll probably be the last guy. Everybody moving forward will have been born from 2000 or later.
Yeah. There might be some weird room. I don't know if there's... they've probably looked at it pretty closely, but just this past draft, a 25-year-old player was taken. He had a Tyler Shock, quarterback, taken in the second round by the Saints, I think. But anyway, doesn't matter. Tyler's 25. He'd been in college for 7 years because of some injury seasons that
COVID
affected his eligibility, but that COVID year was the big one. So yeah, that's the big question. Is there anybody out there who had a couple of injuries successive to the COVID year? That would be the only way. And I'm thinking anybody who if you've seen that statement made, they've probably checked, and there must not be anybody, which blows my mind.
Blows your mind. Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think about the fine that the NFL put on this Giants defensive coordinator, his son, prank called Shedeur Sanders, telling him he was drafted when he wasn't, and he even recorded it, and he put on social media, too. So the defensive coordinator, he makes like $1.5 million a year. So, I mean, it is a lot of money, but it isn't. $100,000 they fine him, and they fine the organization $250,000 for that little stunt.
And it says Giants there. I believe it was the Falcons,
Was it the Falcons?
It was the Falcons. Sorry. Okay. It was the Atlanta Falcons. So, like, I understand that Jax Ulbrich has his own Jax Ulbrich is the name of the young man who made the prank call, who posted the video. His dad is Jeff Ulbrich, defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. His dad was fined $100,000 directly. The team was fined $250,000. Who knows what conversations happened between Jeff and Jax, between the Falcons and Jeff. It absolutely comes up in times like this that Jax... this is the first mistake he made. He doesn't have a criminal record. He hasn't messed with people before. He's never been in some article about a hazing incident. And that is the perfect reason that this is exactly what should have been done about this. It doesn't matter what he did before. He did this thing. He did this. He affected Shedeur in this way. And as a copycat, as the material for a copycat. And I know I'm getting heavily into opinion here, but I'm 100% for this. I mean, like, yeah, cool. I don't care that they're fine. He's not going to go hungry because of this fine. This is the perfect opportunity to set an example to make sure this doesn't happen again. And was the fallout big? No. There were multiple players who received prank calls, but there's absolutely the future opportunity that this becomes something serious. No, I mean, I remember when you and I were talking about it the day it happened, the immediate thing that came to mind was, what if I'm a player who thinks I'm getting drafted? I get that call that I got drafted, say it's like third, fourth, fifth overall, and maybe I hop on Twitter and I say, F every team who didn't draft me. And then I find out that I wasn't actually drafted, and I'm still on the board, and I'm waiting. And I just gave a middle finger to 31 teams in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if that happened, who's responsible for it? So we can't what if. That what ifs don't hold up in court for a reason. We only litigate what actually happened. But there's the potential for a really ugly outgrowth of this sort of event. So for that reason, I'm with it. I think the NFL was slightly heavy-handed, but not inappropriately.
But the fine was just big enough where I think if someone down the line is thinking about duplicating that, they're like, man, that's a lot of money.
Exactly.
If he got $100,000, I'm going to get at least that. This is life changing. This is a lot of lawn mowing the lawn for my dad over the next 50 years to make up for that $100,000.
Well, I mean, like, if I'm Roger Goodell, I wouldn't even, and sure, this is totally backdoor deals that I would never actually support, but let's say maybe Jeff Ulbrich sees some slight pay bumps over the next couple of years, and maybe over the next decade he receives $100,000 more than he would have received before this happened. You know, maybe he gets made whole for this as his, like, if there's some scenario by which this fine is sort of wiped out, I get it, but it will always stand as what happened to that kid who did that dumb thing. And future dumb kids will see that.
Yeah.
That there is absolutely a punishment to deter. That doesn't work well on a national scale, but I think in this one instance, yeah, punish the kid, deter the future ones, because this is such a unique thing. It's a unique enough scenario. There aren't like 10 similar versions of this where the details will matter. Nope, in every future instance where you're making a prank call during the draft, you've got this $100,000 fine as an example to go off of. I'm for it. I think because of this, it won't ever happen again.
So two questions, and this is part of the joy of the offseason of the NFL is speculation, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So two questions, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Question number one, percentage chance that Shedeur Sanders starts at quarterback for the Browns within the first 10 games of the season, upcoming
Ooh.
Season.
Ooh.
What do you think the percentage chance that he is, knowing the Browns' history
yep.
of wanting to sensationalize and not really caring about winning, what do you think for within the first 10 games of the upcoming season that Shedeur Sanders will be the starting quarterback for the Browns in a game?
I'm tempted to give an answer anywhere from 40 to 60%, and I'm not going to go flat 50. I'm going to say 60% chance that Shedeur Sanders starts a game for the Browns in the first 10 games of the 2025 NFL season. Their other quarterbacks include Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson, and that ain't a Hall of Fame right there. So Watson may never play another snap in the league. Personality issues notwithstanding, he's blown up his leg twice in a row over the last couple of years. Kenny Pickett made it clear during his time in both Pittsburgh and during brief appearances in Philadelphia that he is not currently in starter shape. Maybe someday he pulls a Kurt Warner and past his age 30 season does things that shouldn't be possible, but he's not going to do it until after he's 30, I don't think. So, and the Browns are the Browns. It's infinitely likely that they rotate through several starting quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody who might be in their room, but it's not anybody.
And they're probably not going to be very good. They're probably going to be 2-6 at one point. So
their defensive front is terrifying, though. They just paired Mason Graham, defensive end out of Michigan, or defensive tackle, forgive me, defensive lineman out of Michigan, with Myles Garrett on the other side of the ball. So they could theoretically shut out people. I mean, if you see Browns winning games 7-0, 10-0, 14-0, it's not going to happen more than a couple times, but a shutout by the Browns, a low-scoring shutout, sounds about right. Their defense, well, I mean, I'm talking only about one unit, but there's 22 guys out there. Who knows what could happen? But yeah, like they've got potential, just not on the offensive side of the ball right
NFL
now.
NFL question number two, all right? If you were to pick the division champ and who makes the playoffs from the NFC Norris division right now, if you just had to make that, they force you to make that pick and stick with it, who wins the division, who makes the playoffs in the NFC North?
Division champ, Damn, I hate to say it.
Fingers to the chin.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I think the division champ is most likely to be the Packers. Not because, I mean, yes, partially because I'm a Packers homer, but because, first of all, the Bears are a wild card. They've got real potential. The Lions, well, the Bears are a wild card because of what they've gained in the offseason. The Lions and the Vikings are wild cards because of what they've lost in the offseason. Everybody but us is a wild card. We are the most likely to perform similarly to what we did last season.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost a quarterback in Minnesota, and you've got J.J. McCarthy, but we don't actually know what that is. The Lions have the head coach, Dan Campbell, and a heck of a great supporting cast around a solid quarterback, but we just lost both coordinators. Ben Johnson, new head coach in Chicago, which is why Chicago's a wild card, and the defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, is now the head coach over in New York with the Jets. So, yeah, two teams have lost more than I'm comfortable with, and one team has gained more than I'm comfortable with, and because of those losses and gains, 50-50s on all the above. But the Packers, they added clearly where they needed and didn't lose any coaching. There's no brain drain.
Right. I like the train of thought. I like Lions, Packers, probably 1-2. The Vikings at 3. But with that said, the Vikings could do exactly what they did last year to the surprise of no one.
Yep.
Because if their quarterback shows up a little bit, Sam Darnold had a really good year last year.
Yes.
During the regular season. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback. He was really good. And the Vikings will need that from McCarthy. It will, I will tell you right now, it will surprise me if the Bears make the playoffs or win more than 8 games. That will surprise me.
Might be the most surprising, but I won't say that surprises me, because what I've been cooking on here is that, honestly, any version of how the NFC North standings shake out would strike me as possible as we enter the offseason. Now, we're going to know a lot about 3 to 4 games in. Ask me this question again 3 to 4 games in, and I might give you a massively different answer, because at that time we'll understand what the Vikings look like without Sam Darnold, what the Bears look like with their new head coach, and what the Lions look like with all of that they've lost. They've kept most of their player cast, but the brain drain on the coaching staff, we're going to find out what Dan Campbell is without Ben Johnson, first of all. And if they're making the Packers defense look like fools without Ben Johnson on the field, okay, well then the Lions are still in the game in every way that they were. But seriously, Vikings, I could see them anywhere first through maybe third.
The top three. Yeah.
The only thing that I would put any money on, and it's only $5, is that the Bears are fourth in the division. That said, if the Packers are fourth, if the Lions are fourth, if the Vikings, I think this is going to be a bloodbath of a division. You make me pick right now, all you're going to get out of me is anxiety.
And I don't think the Bears are going to be a bad team.
No.
I think they're just good at the wrong time right now. This is like being Stockton Malone during the Jordan era. And I'm not saying they're Stockton Malone, but I think the Bears are going to be good. But 6 of your games are against teams that Packers, Vikings, and Lions that could be in the NFC Championship game and no one would be surprised. You got to play 6 of your 18, 17 games against those guys.
That's exactly it. That's why I feel that anything can happen, because whatever deficiencies exist and we don't know about them until we see some snaps, they're going to be amplified by that time 6 issue. If the Vikings just can't hang with the Packers defense and the Packers defense is having a good year and J.J. McCarthy can't put it together, I could see the Packers intercepting J.J. McCarthy 6 times this year. Mm-hmm. Or maybe J.J. McCarthy's been watching a lot of tape and the Packers look foolish on defense against the Purple People Eater and nobody else. Like, seriously, there is an argument for every single version. The Packers beat the Lions, but not the Bears, and the Vikings are kind of a tie. Like, there's an argument. Give me a convincing argument, and I'll probably agree with you.
One thing is for sure is that the Vikings are going to be a different look team offensively this year.
Yeah.
With their offensive line redone, they're going to run the ball, and they're only going to pass it when they need to. J.J. McCarthy may only throw the ball 13 times in a game because they don't need to if their offensive line is as good as what people are saying it would be from the people that they picked up. And Justin Jefferson by week 10 might not be real happy.
Right.
He might not be very happy.
Well, J.J., he's smart enough to know that winning is number one. But once you've established winning and once you have that culture of winning, if they, I agree, if they see extended success that does not involve Jefferson, he'll enjoy the early success, but once that becomes the norm, okay, now success better involve me, or the team's not going to involve me. I agree. There is a future where success means Jefferson leaves.
Talking football May 5th. It's a wonderful thing, Gray. Thank you.
Happy May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Have a great week.
Thanks, Joel.
Gray Gunderson, that's a Gray Area. Another edition for you, 98Q Country.